Morning, be reading from Mark chapter number 4. Mark chapter number 4. In the previous chapter, we're told that Jesus went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day to worship. And the Bible said that was his custom, to go to the house of God on the Sabbath day. So let me just begin by making a note today. He set an example for every believer of every generation and for our generation as well, and that it is important for God's people to go to the house of God and to be faithful to attend services in the house of the Lord. Let me just say that one more time. We are living in a day when Christianity, so-called, has become lax in worship and in following the Word of God. There are many churches across the country. I was stationed in Tucson. What was the name of it? Can't remember the base now. That's where I got out of the service in Tucson. And where I was working in communication, there was a man that was going to one of the larger churches in the city. Had 800 members. And that was in the 50s. Davis-Monthan Air Force Base. He said these words. We were talking about church. And how the services were in the church where I attended. And I mentioned about the Bible study on Wednesday night and prayer times and whatever. He said this, attending one of the larger churches in the city of Tucson in the 50s, he said, we cannot have Bible study on Wednesday night because there's not enough people interested in coming to church on Wednesday night. That's been a long time ago. And I thought about how many churches are sort of shut down. Some churches shut down for the whole summer. No services whatsoever. Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, prayer time, anytime. For the whole summer. We'll open back up in the fall after the summer's over. I don't know but what the Lord might come in the summertime. And I believe that it's important for people that love God and serve God to be faithful to the house of God. And Jesus went to the Lord's house on the Sabbath day, and the Bible said that was his custom. Not just once in a while, or when it felt like it, but that was his custom. He sent an example for us. The Bible says in the book of Hebrews, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another. And so much the more as you see that day approaching, what the writer is saying by the Holy Spirit anointing is saying, as we see the time, the end of time, as we see the signs of time are gathering and the Lord's coming, we need one another. You believe that? Yeah, we need to sing together and pray together and lift one another up and remember to pray for the needs of each other. God help us in the synagogue that day. In the third chapter of Mark, there was a man with a withered hand. And the Pharisees were watching Jesus. It was the Sabbath day. And the Pharisees were watching Jesus to see if he would heal. Because they believed that healing would be work. And Pharisees, in their tradition, did no work on the Sabbath day. And they were watching Jesus so that they might find some cause against him, that they might accuse him of doing wrong. And there was a man with a withered hand, and Jesus was there in the synagogue, and he went to the man, and he said these words, stretch forth thy hand. And the man could have said, but Jesus, can't you see? My hand is withered. I can't stretch it forth. Can't you see it's weakened? I have no strength. But he didn't say that. Jesus said, stretch forth thy hand. And the Bible says, and he stretched forth his hand, and immediately he was made whole. 1964, a man by the name of Bishop Gary Simon was preaching a meeting at our church in Glendale, Arizona, staying at our home in the conference parsonage. He used this very text that I just mentioned about the man with the withered hand. And I can remember even now, after all of these years, Bishop Simon was not a tall man, but he was a robust man, and I remember when he said, stretch forth thine hand, and Bishop Simon stretched forth his hand, and when he did, God's anointing was real upon the service in heaven. When he stretched forth that hand, it was like God was saying to every one of us in that service that night, stretch forth your hand, and I'll do something for you. How many people say, well, Brother Jones, I can stretch out my hand. If God says do it, you can do it.
Amen.
And he was made whole immediately. What a God we're serving. What a great, big, wonderful God is ours today. In the same chapter, third chapter of Mark, and I'm coming to the fourth chapter in a moment, but we're told that Jesus ordained the 12 to be his disciples and to follow him. And this is what it says in the 14th verse, that they should be with him, and that he might send them forth to preach, and to have power to heal sicknesses, and to cast down devils. And here, in the early part of the fourth chapter, we find Jesus giving parables of the mustard seed and of the candle and of the sower and the seed. He's giving parables. And we come to today's text that I'm going to read from the fourth chapter and the 35th verse. And the same day, when the even was come, he saith unto them, let us pass over unto the other side. When they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship. And there were also with him other little ships. There rose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship. So there was now four, and he was in the midst. He was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awakened and saith unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? He arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, what manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? After the full day of ministering, may God bless the reading of the word, and after the full day of ministering and healing the sick and being with the people, Jesus said, let us pass over to the other side. Now, I want to stop there just one moment. I like that. So I want to make a statement. When Jesus said, let us pass over to the other side, if you will go with Jesus, and Jesus will go with you, you will make it safe into the other side. And let me leave this with you today. He's promised to go with us. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the age. If Jesus goes with me, I can make it. We used to sing a song, if Jesus goes with me, I'll go anywhere. It's an older song. If Jesus goes with me, I'll go anywhere. And here he is. He's saying, let us pass over to the other side. While they were out there on that sea that evening, the Bible says there rose a great storm of wind. The waves were breaking over into the boat, and situation didn't look very promising. And the Bible says the boat was filling up with water, and it looked as if they were going down in spite of everything they could do. And in the midst of it all, listen to this, if you will, in the midst of the storm and the hurricane and the wind blowing and the waves breaking over, Jesus was asleep. And after a while, it seems as if the disciples could take it no longer. They didn't know anything else to do. Jesus is tired. His body's worn out. He's been ministering tirelessly day after day after day. And now, in the evening, and they get in the boat, they go to the other side. And Jesus lays his head on the pillar in the back of the boat and goes to sleep and looks as if the boat is going under with the waves breaking over and the winds blowing and the hurricane raging. And they went to Jesus and said, Master, carest thou not that we perish? Don't you care whether we sink or swim? Don't you care that we go under? Don't you care that we're lost? Don't you care? And I want to preach this morning on that very thought. And I hope everyone here will understand. I want to make as plain as I possibly can. Whatever you go through in life, whatever the trial or tribulation or trouble or heartache or difficulty or sickness or affliction, whatever, I want you to mark this down. Jesus cares.
Amen.
I want you to think about that. Teresa, that was not coincidental that that automobile or whatever stopped just in time. It's because Jesus cares. Bill, it's not coincidental that everything worked out concerning the driving that truck back and forth to work. He cares. If we could only get that through in our hearts and minds today, how many times you're going through a hard place, a difficult time, you don't know what you're going to do. You pray, you cry. Seems maybe the Lord's not listening. The Lord doesn't care. The Lord's not there. Where are you, Lord? Don't you care? I want you to know, He cares. He cares more than we can imagine. I'm going to use some illustrations today along that line. I'm going to begin with the 142nd Psalm. I'm not going to have you to turn there, but at that time, it's the story of David, a young man that was running for his life. King Saul was jealous of him and saw that God was with David and how God was blessing David, and he said, I'll kill him, and David had to run for his life. And in the 142nd Psalm, evidently, David is hiding in a cave. He's run, and Saul has brought his men out, and they've had David hemmed in, and God protected him, and they looked by him somewhere else, even in a cave one day. Saul brought his men into a cave, and David and his men were way back in the back of the cave. God was there to protect, but there came a time when David had run and fled for his life so long. 142nd Psalm, and let me just share some things that he said. I jotted them down. He said, my spirit was overwhelmed within me. The enemy has privately laid a snare for me. He's tried to trap me and to put me to death. He said, I looked on my right hand and behold, but there was no man that would know me. I felt so alone. Seemed like no one knew me at all. He said, refuge, fail me. Then he concluded by saying, no man cared for my soul. No man cared for my soul. And it's likely that some of you here this morning have had battles, felt that same way, felt as if you were fighting life's battles by yourself. All alone, no one understood what you were going through. Not only that, you wondered even if they cared at all. Seemed like it was all on your shoulders and you were carrying the burden. And although you told others about it, seemed like they weren't involved or they didn't seem to have any real concern. And you felt like you were all out there by yourself. But the next verse of David in David's Psalm 142, the Bible says he cried unto the Lord, and I thought, that's the answer. When you feel like you're fighting the battle by yourself and no one seems to understand, no one cares. The Bible said David cried unto the Lord, and I thought, what a key that is. You can count on the Lord because of this one thing, God cares. He cried unto God. God cared about him. I read the fourth chapter of John, and you're familiar, those of you that are familiar with the Bible, it's about the woman at the well. She was living an ungodly life, a sinful life. And the ladies usually took their water pots to the well. We've been to that well in Samaria, Jacob's well. They would take their water pots to the well in the evening time, in the cool of the evening, and they would all go together, the ladies of the town, and they would fellowship as they went, and they would talk together, and go down and draw their water, and go back to the town. But this lady, this woman, in the fourth chapter of John, she didn't go with the ladies in the evening. She went in the heat of the day by herself, because she was the talk of the town. She was a woman that was living an ungodly life, a sinful woman, and she was ostracized, and they had nothing to do with her because of her lifestyle. In fact, she'd been married 5 times. And now, after 5 marriages, she gave up on marriage and just living with someone without marriage. And I'll just make a statement here for everyone's benefit. That was a sin in Jesus' day, and it's a sin in our day. We're living in a perilous time of low morals, and you know it. But the Bible says she goes alone and she goes to the well in the heat of the day to draw water. And when she's there, something happens. An outstanding event took place. She met Jesus. Now again, let me say this. It was not coincidental. Jesus has already said, I must needs go through Samaria. He knew. While they're there, they strike up a conversation. And when that woman leaves the well, she leaves the water pot behind. She came to draw water, but she went home with living water. She went home with a sense forgiven her. She went home having been saved her by grace through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. She was a new person. Aren't you glad God makes us new? He didn't just give us some kind of tune-up job like I mentioned the other day. He makes us a new creature in Christ Jesus. She went home a new person, having met the Lord Jesus there at the Samaritan well. And I thought, thank God, of all that took place. And the reason that I said that I brought that up today, is because Jesus cares for sinners. I'm not asking anyone here today how low you were in sin. It doesn't make any difference. Some people, I think, there was a time in the early 70s, or maybe the late 60s, that when people got saved out of drugs, it seemed like the deeper they had been in the drug business, taking drugs, the worse off they were, the greater their testimony. How the devil on drugs. And I heard that the man called Barnaby, he was a priest, a high priest in the occult. How he was on drugs and all the rest, and how God saved him. It's a tremendous testimony. How God saved him. It seemed as if it was so much of how what he had done and how evil he had been and all the rest. Let me leave some of you today. The man that's gone through all of that and got saved, that's a wonderful testimony. But the man that has never touched it, got saved as a young person, and never went into that, is a greater testimony. Amen. It seemed as if everyone had after Nicky Cruz came out with David Wilkerson's book of the cross and the switchblade and so many other, and wonderful testimonies, I'm not taking away from any of that, but it seemed like the deeper in sin someone got was and God is saved to him, they were in demand to give the testimony. Brother, thank God for all of that, but thank God that you don't have to go into that. Whatever the depth of your sin was, I'm glad I can tell you this today. His arm is long enough to reach as long as you were and lift you up out of sin. Why? Because he cares for sinners. Jesus cares for sinners. I read on. I came to the 5th chapter of John. And the Bible says there was a pool at Bethesda. There were the impotent and the lame and the sick, infirm, that were there in the courtyard of the pool. And this is the only time this is mentioned in the Bible, but at a certain season of the year, the Bible says an angel went down and stirred up the water, and the first one to get in the water was made whole of whatever disease they had. Whatever it was. And when Jesus went by, there was a lame man just there, and he's been lame, he's impotent. Impotent man, 38 years. Every day they'd bring him to the pool, put it as close to the water as they could, hoping to somehow, when they saw the waters that were stirred up, he'd be able to get in the pool and be healed. And when Jesus came by, and in the conversation with the Lord, the man that was impotent said, in essence, I try to get in. They bring me the hope that I can get in, but he said, I have no man. I have no man to put me in the pool. When the water stirred by the angel, I have no man to help me. I'm all alone. I'm unable to get in on my own, and I have no man. And in essence, Jesus said, I'll be the man. Because Jesus cares for the infinite, and the afflicted, and the diseased. He cares. And I want you to see the story. Here's an impotent man, unable to walk, weakened, 38 years in this condition. And the Bible says, Jesus says, in essence, I'll be the man, and Jesus healed him and made him whole. I want to read what it says in that 5th chapter. Jesus said to him, rise, take up thy bed and walk. The man could have said, but Master, I can't walk. But Master, you don't understand. I have no strength in my legs. Master, if I had strength, I'd get in the pool when the water stirred up. But Master, Jesus said, rise, take up thy bed and walk. And the Bible says to me, he took up his bed and began to walk. Hallelujah. Listen closely. A man that had not walked in 38 years. A man that had no strength in his ankle bones. A man that did not know how even to begin to walk, maybe now. After all these years, the Bible says he took up his bed and walked. Well, say, preacher, if God says that, you can do it. And I leave this with you today. Jesus cares. Haven't walked in 38 years. Two places in the Bible, maybe a lot of 2,000 places. I'd like to have been there. I don't like to watch Peter walk on the water. I'd like to have watched a lot of things. I'd like to have been there at the gate of the beautiful temple in the third chapter of Acts when Peter prayed for that man. Took him by the hand. In the name of Jesus of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And the Bible says, and he rose up and began to run and leap and praise God. I'd like to see that. Amen. And here, this impotent man, 38 years. The Bible says, and Jesus said, rise, take up your bed and walk. And the Bible says he rose up and he began to walk. Do you believe the same God is alive today? Do you suppose we don't see miracles and healings because we've gotten away from what God says in His Word? Do you suppose maybe we want it now, and if we don't get it in our time and our way, we sort of give up? People give us a prayer request and nothing happens. And so we decide maybe it's not God's will. Maybe it is God's will for us to pray again. All of us, whatever it is. Do you believe that Jesus cares? That's the important part today. Jesus went by the pool of Bethesda. Here's the man. And when he leaves there, the man has taken up his bed and began to walk. And I believe it made a difference in everybody else that was there in the courtyard. If Jesus could heal him, he could heal me. If Jesus cares for him, he cares for me. That's why when God does something good and big and wonderful, that everybody can see, it does good, it does them good for someone else to see it. Amen, amen. And so, if we can leave it today with the thought in our mind that Jesus cares, that Jesus is mindful of us, turn with me today to the 10th chapter of Mark. 10th chapter of Mark. I want to read a familiar story. 46th verse. And they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples, and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging, blind, unable to earn a living. The only means he had to have bread on the table is to beg from someone. That was his all they had. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Let me stop there if I may. Here's a man that is blind. He hears that it's Jesus that's passing by. He's heard about Jesus. He's heard about the miracles. He's heard about the healings. And he cries out and says, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Listen today. The thing that we need today is the mercy of God. We don't need what we deserve. We might need it, but I'm glad we don't get it. Thank God for mercy. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he cried, began to cry, have mercy. And many charged him that he should hold his peace. But he cried the more of a great deal. They said, don't disturb Jesus. He's busy. He's ministering to the others. He's concerned about those about him. But the Bible says when he heard that, he cried out the more, crying out, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And the Bible says that Jesus stood still. You know why he stood still? Because he cares. And commanded him to be called, and they called the blind man, saying unto him, be of good comfort. Rise, he calleth thee. And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. Let me stop right there one more time. He cast his garment aside, rose up, cast his garment aside, and went to Jesus. No one has ever had the real experience with God unless he's willing to cast everything else aside. If you're determined to serve God and love for the world at the same time, you'll never make it. And I can tell testify today that when my wife and I came back to God, I'd made up my mind. I was tired of living the way that I was living. And you'll have to cast everything aside if you're going to serve God and love God and live wisely, like the Sunday school lesson said. And he cast everything aside and went to Jesus. And you know the story. Jesus said, "What do you want? I'd like to have my eyesight." And Jesus healed him. I want you to go back to the 4-6 verse. And I want you to notice some words in the 4-6 verse. And it says, "And as he went out of Jericho." As Jesus was going out of Jericho, here's a blind man sitting on the curb begging. And he cries out when he hears there's Jesus. And he gets healed. As he was going out, now stay with me right here. Bartimaeus had no idea that this was the last time that Jesus would ever go to Jericho. He did not know. As Jesus was going out of the city, and Bartimaeus cried out, Bartimaeus could not know, did not know that it's now or never. He did not know Jesus wasn't coming this way. Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem. Bethany. Bethage. He was on his way to the cross. Never went back to Jericho, but Bartimaeus didn't know that. But he took the opportunity. He took advantage of the opportunity. Jesus was passing by. He didn't know what Jesus might be back tomorrow. But today he needed healing. He cried out now, Jesus is coming by now. And Jesus healed him. You know why? Because he cares. I thought about Bartimaeus. He took advantage of the opportunity. When the opportunity availed itself, how many have said this? I'm a young person, and I'm going to get saved when I get older. Not during the vacation Bible school. I'm still too young. When I get older, I'm going to get married. I'm going to have some children. What then? I'm going to have a good job. What then? I'm going to retire. What then? Well, I'm just going to take it easy. What then? Because there's going to be a then. And the Bible says that this man, Bartimaeus, availed himself of the opportunity. Jesus was passing by, and he cried out. Listen closely. And if he had not have cried out that day, it's likely that he had never been able to see the beauties of this world that God has created. He would have lived and died in darkness, blinded. Blind. How many today are blinded spiritually because they had the opportunity and did not avail themselves? Did not cry out to God. Said, some other time I'm going to serve God. Some other time I'm going to live for God. I'm going to get in and set out to God, dedicate my life to God. And I'm going to leave a statement for you. We're going to close in a moment. I don't know whether the Lord will ever come back this way again. We have no promise. When we walk out that door this morning, there's not a person in this building right now that can tell us for a surety that you'll be back tonight. You don't know, nor do I. I don't know what's going to happen on the other side of that door. But I know one thing, that Jesus has said, I'm here, and I love you. And I care. And I leave this with you today. Jesus cares. We're going to say, honey, teach someone to care in the course book. Somebody cares for you. His name is Jesus. We sing that course. I owed a debt I could not pay. Is that where it starts? He owed a debt. He paid a debt. He paid a debt he did not owe. I owed a debt I could not pay. I needed someone to wash my sins away. And I tell you today, I found the someone. His name is Jesus. He cares. I leave one other illustration as my wife comes to piano. How do you know he cares, Brother Jones? How do you really know he cares? We've mentioned about healing and about opening blinded eyes and the impotent man and the woman at the well was saved and all the rest. How do you know today he cares? Because I read the Bible and he went to the cross. And as I tried to picture, I don't know if you ever saw that film, Christian film of the life of Christ. I saw it as a boy. I'd never been in a theater in my life. That wasn't in a theater. It was in the Nazarene Church, Newport News. Some of us church folks went over there. I didn't understand. Remember, that's before television. I'd never been in a movie house. When I saw the life of Christ, it was so real. I wondered, how did they get all of that? It was so real to me when he died. He was bleeding, hanging on the cross. I couldn't understand. I'd never been to a movie. I didn't know about what was acting business. It was so real. Let me leave this with you today. It was more real than that movie. He died. He went to the cross. And I'm closing. We're going to sing. What number is that? 132? 132. Someone to Care. Listen to this, if you will. I'll just name some names. Carl Parnell. I want you to know something today. I love you. And Jesus cares for you. Tom, Jesus cares for you. Dream of how many times, and I went home the other night and talked to my wife. When I saw you walking back there, taking care of the refreshments, you didn't say a word. But I could tell every step you took was pain. I was praying for you. I could tell. I told my wife when I got home how that there's pain, just so you could see it in your walk. I don't ever feel like no one cares. He cares. He cares. Sister Alma, you've had that eye operated on time and time and time again. You might feel like sometimes, does anyone understand? No one understands the pain that's there. He cares. Brother Jay, this church has prayed and prayed and prayed and still praying. When the cancer doctor says something, and when the chemotherapy doctor says something, and the radiation physician says something, and whatever the medication might be, whatever it is, in the midst of it all, remember this. He cares. He cares. And if I know the day that he cares, I can make it. Whatever comes our way, we can make it. He cares. How many times? And I'll close. I said I'm going to close with this other thought. When something happened in 1970 in Southern California, the camp meeting, and some ministers had, well, ministers will let you down sometime. My wife and I and the family were in a turmoil, in a sense. We had been voted into a church in Bakersfield, California, and then because of the elections of the superintendent and what have you, they decided to send someone else to Bakersfield after the Bakersfield church had voted for us. We were left without a church. Our furniture was in storage. We were getting ready to move to Bakersfield as soon as the conference was over, and now no church. Now, I went out behind the tabernacle in a great big rock, Southern California, to pray. Now, I leave this with you today. Men will let you down. They will fail you. But he never fails. I wish I could tell you that while I was there at that rock praying that day, that God spoke to me and told me exactly what to do, but he didn't. But he did let me know this. I care for you. While I was praying, I felt the presence of God. Still didn't know what to do. Went back to Arizona. Went to camp meeting that Friday night. Didn't know what I was going to do. Almost time for school to start. Two boys. Didn't know what I was going to do. But in the midst of it all, and I'm not going to go through any more detail, but this is the part that I leave with today. He cares more than we can imagine. He's been with us every step of the journey. And I just want to give him glory. I want to give him praise and thanksgiving. He cares. When you feel like you're by yourself and you've cried and your pillow's wet,
You cry in the middle of the night. And you don't know which way to turn. He cares. We're going to sing, "Someone to Care, Someone to Share." Will you stand together with me? Let's sing it.